This is Earth Radio. And now here's human music.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the podcast. And today we have fun and sad news. But first, introducing our hosts for tonight's episode is me and Lewis. Lewis, go ahead and take it away.
All right. What's happening, party people? Are we on the party machine yet?
No. You know what? We should get a number where people could call us and leave us leave us like random voicemails. That'd be great. Maybe that pepper them into the episodes as they go.
Yeah. When we do a live DJ set on Discord, we'll just like pepper them. They'll be our soundboard.
Oh, yeah.
Transition from songs into voicemails.
So
that'd be great.
So I was listening to another podcast. It's a podcast from an LA DJ.
You cheating on us?
No. It's called The Woody Show. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Angela loves waking up to The Woody Show.
So they have it's hilarious because they have a segment called Crossroads, where people literally call in or they send letters and they're like, you know what? This is the last straw. I won't listen to your show anymore. Blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, see you at the crossroads. Like usually they get like people who are like, I can't stand for your show because your show is, this is the last straw. I can't listen to your show anymore. And then they're like, okay, cool. Don't listen to us anymore. It is what it is.
Fuck it.
Right?
So fucking send it.
So we're going to get into one of our stories. Last week, Rick told us about a story about the comic book that is going to basically be like an X-Men style movie where 1% of people who are born are like abnormal or strange. They have superpowers, and it's going to star Will Smith. It's called Brilliance. It's a book that was written not too long ago, and I thought it was really interesting. Like, I kind of read up on it a little bit, and the premise is like really cool. It's like, what if 1% of the population had some type of superpower? I mean, what do you think about that?
So I like this idea of, I like the idea of certain people being special, which is why, weird to move that into a Disney property, but this is why the prequels for me and the midichlorian stuff never worked for me. Because now it was less about like fine-tuning yourself and becoming one with everything, and just like, oh yeah, randomly when your numbers were high or low and that's how you got chosen. It's like, yeah. But if this is something where it's like, you know, a random shot of people, but you still have to kind of like, you get a gift but you have to train it and build it in order to become better, like that's kind of cool. Like, it's a good idea. I hope they actually go X-Men with it and make it a very like inclusive group, make it open to a lot of people. I mean, the hiring of Will Smith to be part of the project and to have him help produce it is a good step.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that even in the article it says that the author is a producer on this,
yeah,
even better, because the source material will be respected.
And it gives it hope. I mean, it truly gives it hope, to be honest with you. So let me read you from this article. It's a Deadline article. 4-time Emmy and 2-time Oscar winner filmmaker Shireen Obadiah Chinoy will be making her narrative featuratorial debut on Brilliance, a Paramount Picture adaptation of Marcus Sasky's novel. This has been a passion project for Will Smith and Akiva Goldsman, who did I, Robot, I Am Legend, and Hancock together. So just kind of going through this article a little bit, they give you the premise. The premise is, what if 1% of the world's children were born with powerful gifts, and how would society adapt to them? The Brilliance novel trilogy is set in the future where non-neurotypical people, demonized by society as twists or abnormals, are threaten the status quo of quote-unquote normal populations with their unique gifts. They're officially labeled as Brilliance and are carefully tracked by the government. So that's already pretty interesting. That's a great premise. So then it goes on to say the plan is for Smith to play the book series hero, Nick Cooper, a federal agent who works in the Department of Analysis and Response. His job is to track down and terminate criminal abnormals who use their gifts for ill. The agent is himself an abnormal, and with the gift for predictive analysis to allow him to see what will happen before it happens and react preemptively. He is also a father of a brilliant daughter. That's gonna be interesting because that kind of that gives me those vibes from that movie that Tom Cruise did where they used the
Minority Report.
There you go. It's like they could predict what was gonna happen.
The precogs. Yeah, that's a thought right there. I don't know why I didn't make that connection. I mean, aside from the fact that I haven't seen that movie, but yeah, I mean that's cool. I feel like this is giving me kind of a makeup for After Earth. Remember that?
You know, honestly, I never saw After Earth, but I've seen clips here and there, and I was just never really interested in watching that movie. It just never appealed to me.
Like, I'm a Will Smith fan, and even I didn't see it. Just like I'm a Rock fan, but I didn't see Tooth Fairy, and I still haven't seen Tooth Fairy.
It's a good movie.
Boy. Is it?
It's a good movie. It's a really good movie.
After all the crap I've seen about it? Damn, that's...
I think it's a good movie. I mean, I saw it with little kids way back when, but I enjoyed it.
Okay, that might help. That might actually help.
But the thing is, you know, the Will Smith movie that I really thought was great was that movie where he was like a human being working with like trolls and fairies and, you know, that whole... It was on Netflix. Bright. It was such a great movie.
Oh, Bright.
Yeah, I thought that was a great movie too.
Is that really?
And it kind of gives me that vibe.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Oh, you should. It's okay. Very interesting. It's got a premise where like he's a cop, but he's also working with orcs, and they're trying to solve a mystery.
Right.
Where they're kind of like all these elves and orcs and all kinds of stuff are kind of like existing in our world at the same time. So it kind of shows you how people interact with them. It's pretty interesting. I enjoyed that film.
Okay. Got it. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, Bright, in my opinion, I thoroughly enjoyed that film. And I heard that they were going to make a sequel to that film, so.
Oh, yeah, I heard that too. I don't know how long ago that was.
It was like 3 months ago.
But yeah, that's definitely, I'm pretty sure that's still in the works. I mean, look, I know after the Oscar slap and everything like that, I know people have this kind of bad taste in their mouth about Will Smith. And that's fine. You can kind of do that. I have a bad taste in my mouth for a lot of other people who did worse things. But I feel like at the end of the day, an incident like that shouldn't mark him forever. I think he should be allowed to come back and do stuff. Because if we're looking at his track record with Hollywood as far as like a report card, this is like a A-, maybe middle of the road A student that like had one incident and y'all want to expel him from school. Like, come on, you know.
Well, you know, everybody is allowed to redeem themselves. I'm a firm believer in that. And to quote Cobra Kai season 5, if I can change, he can change, then we can all change.
I think you're quoting Rocky from Rocky 4.
No, that's the joke. That's the joke in the show.
I can change.
No, but that's the joke in the
show. You can change.
But that's the joke in the show is like, you see the main antagonist, Johnny, he's like, if I can change, he can change, we can all change. And there's an exchange between him and the commissioner of the Shokai Tai Kai or whatever. And he's like, oh, I like it, Rocky. Yo, Rocky, good movie. Like they have that exchange. So part of that movie. But anyway, digressing a little bit, moving into some comic news. We got a comic book that's coming. It's going to be very interesting. It is Rick and Morty's next major adversary, which is H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu. So if you ever watch Rick and Morty, at the beginning, in the opening, you see at some point he's trying to escape Cthulhu with a baby Cthulhu.
Right.
And I think this is the way that they're going to bring in the Cthulhu story without actually... And who knows? We may get an animated version of this show, this episode, per se. But this is going to be a miniseries, a 4-issue miniseries by Oni Lion Forging Publishing Group in collaboration with Warner Brothers Consumer Productions and Adult Swim. So this is going to be like, what if they went off to a Lovecraftian hellscape? That's pretty interesting.
Ooh, this is going to be nuts.
And they already have all the cover art for it, too. Some of the cover art's really cool. Like, you see Rick, and then you see Morty bubbling in a cauldron. Rick looks a little menacing. Then there's another one where Rick and Morty are running away with Cthulhu grabbing at them. There's one where Cthulhu is leaning above them and they're wearing like old-timey garb. And these 6 issues plus the variant issues look pretty interesting. I don't know if you have a chance to look at that.
No, it looks rad as shit, dude. Who's the art? Who's doing the art on this?
I don't know. Does let's see if we read the.
Oh, here we go. Covers features cover art by Little and variant cover art by Xander Cannon, Mark Ellerby, Zub, Julieta Colas, and Ryan Lee. The issue releases December 7th. Okay,
that's coming soon. I'm looking forward to it.
Oni Press is a very interesting comic book company. I kind of.
Well,
I don't know.
They do a lot of Dungeons and Dragons.
I like a lot of the stuff they do, yeah.
Which they actually did the Rick and Morty versus Dungeons and Dragons book. It's an actual story that you can do as Rick and Morty. It's kind of like a, I think it's like 5th edition, 5e for Dungeons and Dragons. So it's pretty cool. It's like a module that you can play. So I thought that was...
All right, cool.
I mean... To look at the art, it's like it's pretty stunning. It looks really great. Like it had, it gives you that vibe of like the 1920s because the art style, which is kind of around the time when these books were written. And I've read some of H.P. Lovecraft stuff, like Into the Mountain of Madness, The Call of Cthulhu. You know, there's a lot of outside stuff like what'd you call that like. Basically, what it is like anything Lovecraftian horror is kind of like anything that can't be given a shape. In an essence, you know, so some of these people run into creatures that just don't have a actual shape. It's kind of cool, and I'm kind of big on Lovecraftian horror because you got films like The Thing, which is somewhat based off of Lovecraftian horror. You have the movie with. I want to say it's Lawrence Fishburne and Sam Neill, where they go into a spaceship, Event Horizon. And that movie's very Lovecraftian horror. Mm. It's like futuristic Lovecraftian horror. But overall, I think Lovecraftian horror is a lot scarier than your standard horror because it's not something that you can imagine in your mind's eye. And there's also a show called...
Lovecraft Country.
Yeah, Lovecraft Country on HBO. Oh my God, I love that show. It was so good. The Smollett girl just had me really smitten.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, she's gorgeous, dude. Oh,
don't get me wrong. Oof. Oof. I just like her in the first couple episodes because of the clothes she was wearing. It's very period, and it's so... That's the word I'm looking for. Getting a little warm over here. Just thinking about it. Anyway.
All right.
But going into horror, and a little more horror, before we move on to something a little bit better, this past week in baseball... There were some people that were sitting behind home plate that had these really creepy looks on their face, and they weren't moving. It was pointed out by a lot of people like John Boy Media, iTalk Studios, which is like a really big baseball YouTubers. And it was all for this movie called Smile. It is a horror film that's creepy. Like, these people were like literally just sitting with a big old grin on their face.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, to no, see
the
it,
premise
it's very
of that
unsettling.
Movie is insane.
Yeah, but it's very unsettling to see them. They were just kind of like sitting there grinning.
And it's, oh no, it's beyond unsettling, dude. I don't know. I can't do it. I can't do
it. No. I don't like horror movies. I'll be 100% honest. I hate horror movies because of what I said. Remember last week when I told you that I got tortured? My cousins would tie me up and sit me in front of these.
Oh, yeah.
These movies. It's because of that I can't watch horror films. Like, there's just something innate in me that I hate horror films. But like, I like to read about them because it's pretty cool. This is one of them. The marketing campaign for this film is like they spent money to put these people behind home plate with a shirt that just says smile.
Oh, and
they're
yeah.
just kind of like with these creepy grins, like these shit-eating grins. And a lot of people are like, what is this for? And the director's done a previous film called Laura Hasn't Slept. Creepy. Like in the article for Polygon, they talk about this. And the first photo, when you click the link, you're just looking at her face and it's so... So weird.
Oh no, it's super insane. I hate it. Yeah. I hate every little bit about it, honestly.
But okay, so they said the setup is similar to the movie It Follows. I don't know if you've ever heard of that film. It Follows is basically it's kind of like a Lovecraftian thing too. Talking about what we were talking about before, where It Follows is basically a premise of like there's something that follows you in the background and it constantly ever gets closer to you. And if it gets close enough to you, it can kill you.
Ah. Okay.
And the only way that you can transmit it to somebody is by having sexual intercourse. And then that whatever bad juju that person had, they pass it on to the next person. So the whole film there's this girl who's like, oh, I feel like someone's following me. And like at some point it catches up with her and almost murders her like multiple times. And she's able to escape.
Mm-hmm.
But like at the end of the film, it's not really clear whether she did or didn't, because there's always things in the background, far in the background, in the foreground, just there, just walking, lumbering towards her, unsuspecting. It's super creepy.
Yeah, no, I can't do that. That also reminds me of, remember Teeth?
Oh, a little God, while back. Yes, that film?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vagina Dentata. Do not Google that, people. Do not Google that.
You know, I saw that movie.
When you're at work.
I actually saw that movie back.
How long did you have to ice your nuts for?
Was it 2004 or 2005 when that film came out?
I want to say 5, because I was definitely in high school. But I don't think I was transitioning from middle school to high school. So that would have been 04. I was definitely for sure in high school.
Because when I saw that, it's 2007. So when I saw that, I was like, I remember I was in the Marines at the time when I watched it. And I was laughing so hard throughout the film. I was like, really? Really? That's going to, oh. And I couldn't not watch the film, but I was just like so disgusted with it.
Yeah, no, that's insane.
But also, speaking of disgusting, there's a trailer that came out this week for a little-known video game adaptation called The Last of Us.
All right. And we're into the good stuff now. Yes. We're into the good stuff now.
So, did you watch the trailer for Last of Us?
Does the Pope shit in the woods?
In that trailer, they recreated... Well, he probably does. Who knows? But in that trailer, they recreated a lot of classic like moments from the game. Like these set-piece moments where Joel is looking at Ellie. And they recreate... I mean, almost shot for shot. Some of these shots are just like right dead on. And the music they have on that is so well done, produced for that trailer. I'm looking forward to this because they're not really... What are they? They're not zombies, but they're infected with like a mushroom virus, I want to say.
Yeah, it's a mushroom virus of some sort, yeah. Or like, zombie-ish virus, zombie-adjacent virus, I guess.
It's like cordyceps or cordis something. It's like, basically these people get infected with this, almost like opens up their head like a mushroom, kind of. And they're very,
it's, like... The visuals from the game are radically crazy, but the fact that they recreated it in a live act... This isn't an animated show. This isn't a rendered in the game system show. This is real humans in full suits and makeup.
I know. That to me,
like if y'all
is very interesting.
That's insane. Like if y'all were taken aback and shocked by the way the Vecna looked in Stranger Things, or the Demogorgons, or any creature from Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
And how detailed they were and how insane they looked in suit form, you're going to get that same kind of vibe with this. In fact, if you're a strange, I would venture out to put this guess out there. If you like Stranger Things for the semi-horror creepy element of it all, you're going to like this show and you're going to like this game series. That's not to say if you don't like Stranger Things, you wouldn't like this, because I think if we're going based off the game does show off a lot of big dynamics. And we won't go into spoilers since the show is going to be very, very fresh soon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of like family building / rebuilding in this game that if you like those kind of things, if you like that kind, not drama, but if you like that kind of suspense, you like that kind of horror. Yeah, there's a little bit of drama in it. Of course, it's a family thing. But this is definitely the series that you're going to want to pay attention to.
I don't know.
It has.
Do you remember? So you did play the game, right?
I did not. I played the multiplayer a little bit, but I didn't actually play the story mode.
So there's a moment in that game, and I played it like many years ago. There's a moment where they come over a wall, and you see like the city. I don't remember the name of the city. But it says like zoo. Like there's a zoo in the distance.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the most. I mean, and it was on PS3 when I played it, and they've upgraded it for PS4. They now upgraded it for PS5. But when I played it on the PS3, at the time, like I thought the graphics were stunning, and that one shot, it just, you see how big the city is and how empty it is, and you're like, oh, it gives you that sense of like how big everything is, yet you're so small, and these creatures can find you, and they can kill you and turn you, and it's pretty much it. It's like game over. So, like, you really have to manage your resources in the game, too. It's like you only get so many bullets, you only get so many guns, so you have to be very smart. It's kind of almost like Resident Evil, but, like, in such a way that it's, like, radically different, because you're going through an actual story of a man who's trying to take a girl across the country. So you get this sweeping vista of the city. Yeah, the set pieces are amazing. I'm just going to say that. So if you haven't played the game, like, I know they're re-releasing it on PS5 soon, or they've already released it, but it's one of those games that you
play. I think the remaster is coming out soon.
Yeah, it's one of those games that you do want to play, and you want to, like, you want to live it at least once. And I remember when I got to the end of that game, I just was like, I was so torn up. I was just like, why?
Did you play the sequel?
I did not. I'm not going to lie. Okay. I did not play the sequel. So I saw that there was a lot of online hate for the game, but not everybody's going to enjoy the game. So
I mean that's with any entertainment. No one's going to love everything that somebody does or creates or whatever. I just feel like if you have such strong emotions for the first game, you know, I would say try out the second game as well. Again, this is coming from somebody who hasn't played the game at all, but I am excited for the show. Like, I definitely do want to see the show as it comes out. I'm, you know, again, it's more just of I haven't gotten around to it because I know for a fact that I want to play the game, but I'll play it on the PS5.
Is it out of morbid curiosity that you want to watch it?
Yeah, but it's also for the Danny Mando of it all.
Oh, yeah. You know it.
Gotta support our people, and you know, Daddy Mando always has my back. You know, he's always watching out for me, so I must watch out for him as well.
I just think that, like, at the very end of the trailer, and they do such a cliche thing where they just show you, like, a quick glimpse of one of those creatures at the end of that trailer, that you're like,
oh. I mean, they gotta tease it somehow.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like, it's a horror trope in a movie where you build it up, and then you just kind of just see, like, a frame of a monster, and you're like, oh, crap. So I definitely, this is a definite must watch for me. So it might not follow the story, like, beat for beat, but as long as they have that one scene where, like, he comes over that wall and you see that sweeping vista, I'll be happy.
Well, okay, I'll be totally honest. I think way long ago, oh my God, what's it called? There was definitely an article somewhere where I think they said that they are going to follow it. I think the percentage point, and I'm definitely wrong, I think the percentage of that they're following the game storyline is about 80%. They will deviate where they can and where they have limitations as far as like, you know, translating the game to a TV show. Because I guess there's some elements where, like, they have to... I guess the game is motivated by your choices.
Yeah, it is.
So since they can't really do a choose your own adventure game, even though Netflix tried it a while ago, I guess that's the deviation. Is any point where in the game you probably would have made a decision and it would have affected the game later on, that's probably where the deviations will lie, which makes total sense. I mean, you're not going to follow everything 100%, you know, unless you have HBO money.
Well, they're getting an HBO show, so I would assume, perhaps, that they would.
I mean, try old to... school. I mean, old, like, you know, Game of Thrones, HBO money.
Yeah, that's true. But so far, the show, the tease trailer they gave us this week was.
Oh, it was beautiful.
Far superior absolutely to most beautiful stuff that's come out. So.
I'd have to say
it's far superior to some of the shows that have been coming out, some of the shows that have been receiving a lot of hate online.
Which ones?
Lord of the Rings. I feel like Rings of Power. Like, people don't like it because the elves don't look like elves. People are like, I went back to watch the Lord of the Rings from 2003, and those elves look more like the elves that would have been in the book. It you know, it's a lot of that.
But is it from a makeup standpoint, or is it like a racial standpoint?
I think more makeup, because.
Okay, well, I mean, if the makeup sucks now versus back in 2002, that's an issue. that's something that needs to get fixed, because if you perfected it in 2002, that's like going back to the God, there was another movie like the Matrix movies.
Oh yeah.
That CGI back then isn't great, but it's, you know, it's passable for what the time period was.
But it holds up better than some of the stuff that's come out.
Exactly. Like, oh, there's a lot of recent movies that do not measure up to that level of detail that the Matrix had back in the day, and it shows. And it's like, yo, y'all had more money, more time, better technology, and less limitations, and y'all produced a shittier product than something from two decades ago?
Yeah.
Fuck off. That's ridiculous.
But you know what? You know what's even worse? When you get a movie, and you're like really excited for a movie, and then that movie just like...
And you gotta take a shit in the middle of it?
Yeah, I know, and no, and it just... Sucks. There's like CGI moments where you're just like, what the fuck was that? Kind of like for example...
Thor thing!
What's that?
The Thor thing?
Yes! How do you get a
I don't.
And then they went... The worst part is they went back to fix it, and they made it worse.
In quotes, fixed it.
And they made it worse. No, dude.
I haven't seen it yet. I haven't fired it up on a Disney Plus because I kind of haven't needed to rewatch it.
Oh, God, don't.
But I will say this. I am looking forward to seeing it to see if there is a third fix.
They haven't fixed it. They just left that one fix. It looks terrible.
Well, fuck it. All right.
But you know what, though? Speaking of Marvel. One, two, three. Big announcements this week from Marvel. One of them.
3.5. I'm going to include a 0.5 on that one.
What's the 0.5?
The 0.5 is a twofold thing. It's the Black Panther movie. Mm-hmm. The fact that they mixed in the runtime, which is 2 hours and 41 minutes, which is going to be the longest MCU movie ever. Tickets go on sale on Monday when this episode drops, I think at 12 o'clock Pacific, like 12 o'clock afternoon Pacific time. Mm-hmm. So by the time this episode drops, everyone needs to be on AMC getting their tickets. I will have gotten mine by now.
Well, yeah, me too.
And third, there was one other thing, the runtime. The fact that in a recent interview, the actor playing Namor has said that he is a confirmed mutant.
Yes. That was one of the things that I was going to talk about. He's the first mutant. Well, but if you look at the headdress, they're using a dragon.
Full Aztec.
No, they're using a dragon for the headset. Like, the, you know, the headpiece that he's wearing, it's the head of a dragon.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which kind of ties into the whole, there are many multiple dragons all over the world, like in Shang-Chi. Yeah. Kind of ties that one
they
in there a little
bit.
Because you know how Shang-Chi had the defender dragon, right?
And they had the evil one coming out of the water,
but now
too.
There's so the dragon two. That's the headdress.
Namor is three.
Yeah. There's more, apparently.
Yeah.
So that's one.
I wonder where they're going to pop out in.
I don't know. But it's interesting. It's interesting to look for. The second thing that we're going to talk about that is Marvel-related is that Blade has lost their director. Mahershala Ali is very angry because he thinks that... Kevin Feige is spread out a little too thin. He's also complained that in his film, there's only two action scenes and they're very, very low budget, like kind of not really action scenes. And there's only 90 pages, meaning that it's going to be a 90-minute movie. Those are all considerable gripes, which as an actor, like if you're going to be in a film, you want to have at least I say about 100 to 120 pages because each page is about a minute long, right? In script talk.
So I am not a professional actor, but I hope to be someday. The one page for 1 minute is definitely a good comparison. I think people need to remember that these are Marvel movies, so the 1 minute per page isn't necessarily a perfect one-to-one, because the script will go over, like, and a fight scene happens and this, like they'll have the major moments of the fight scene, but it's not going to go into full detail where like, and Blade throws a straight right hand followed up by an uppercut followed up by a knee to the chin, followed up by this, and then he gets blocked, and then there's a half turn.
Right.
I don't expect scripts to be that detailed. I think they just give you the general gist and the major points of, like, at some point, you know, if there's two sword fighters, like, at some point, their swords clash and they're staring at each other, like, blade to blade, face to face. Right,
and they're given that liberty within the page, essentially.
Yeah. That's more for the camera guys, for the producers,
first units,
and obviously the stunt coordinators to kind of figure out what to do about the actual fight. Mm-hmm. That being said, 90 pages ain't great.
Well, just remember that most films, it could be 90 pages, and then they get revisions. They get pages added on. So it could
But like, how long? What they didn't announce this movie this past D23. This was pre-pandemic that they announced it, right?
No, it was like.
Or was it pandemic year?
It might have been because they showed off some stuff, then Mahershala Ali walked out onto the stage with the blade symbol behind him.
With the blade hat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Looking like he got drafted by Marvel for their to be a linebacker or some shit.
That was interesting. But him to make the complaint that Kevin Feige's spread thin. But they have so many things coming out.
So, okay. So, working off the stuff that you mentioned earlier, the scripting can be mandated. That can be fixable. The lackluster action, if you hire the right stunt guy and coordinators, you're going to get great action no matter what, even if it looks like shit on paper. The Kevin Feige thing is an interesting bit because this won't only affect Blade. It's going to affect everything, I would say, from She-Hulk forward, of how we view the product or products that are coming out. Because, you know, I would say before Endgame, Kevin Feige having we're doing two movies a year. Great plan. You got two movies a year. You're filming in between. You know, he doesn't necessarily have to be there every day for filming, but he's got to be there for the post stuff, the editing probably a little bit, and all the ramping up the interviews, the behind the scenes stuff. He's got to be there for that. Yeah. But now you're talking about with the implementation of Disney Plus and the fact that, like, what are we at right now? I think phase 5, I know we put it out there on the social medias. No, we're in phase 4 right now still, I think.
Yeah, but that's Blade is more of a phase 5 towards the end of phase 5 type thing.
Right. I'm going to try to pull up real quick because there was a list. Oh, here we go. So phase 5 is February of next year. Black Panther is the end of phase 4.
Mm-hmm.
So now next year is, I mean,
yeah, there's still so much going on.
Dates,
there's
I'll give you dates even.
Well, we don't need dates, but Ant-Man. There's a lot going on for Marvel. All
right, so starting off in February, Ant-Man, then Secret Invasion, Guardians, Echo, Loki Season 2, The Marvels. Blade is supposed to be November of next year.
Yeah,
somehow?
I know. I don't get it either, dude.
Ironheart, Agatha, Daredevil, and then it jumps into 2024. But just in 2023 alone, that's 4 movies, mm-hmm. and 5 shows that are going to be on Disney Plus. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying the man is literally on every set every single day. And some of these shows some of these shows and movies are probably already done. But that's still like, fuck.
So wait. So
I can't even handle a normal day at work.
So when is phase 5 supposed to end?
Phase 5 ends with September 6, 2024, Deadpool 3.
Deadpool
phase
3.
Phase 6 begins with Fantastic Four November 8th.
Yeah. Well,
2024.
Talking about some Deadpool.
Yo, but I didn't even realize this. There are still, even in phase 6, there's eight other. Yeah,
there's stuff that's unannounced.
It's 8 untitled projects, 2 Avengers movies, and Fantastic Four.
Yeah, it's like they're getting Avengers Kang Dynasty and then Avengers. Secret Wars, something like that. Something to that effect.
It's Secret Wars.
Yeah, Because not Secret Wars, but the other one, the
Armor Wars.
No, no, no. It'll be Secret Wars for sure. But like they got a series coming out.
No, it literally. So the series that you're probably thinking of is Armor Wars.
No, no, no. There's another one.
But the Avengers subtitle after Kang Dynasty is Secret Wars.
No, but there's a series coming out that stars Colby Smulder. Secret Invasion. There you go. Secret Invasion.
Secret Invasion. Yeah.
So I'm thinking of Secret Invasion, but I know Secret Wars is coming. So that's going to be insane. But
I mean, so many secrets.
But the biggest news to come out this week that set the internet on ablaze had to have been
I blew my wad when I saw this news online.
Why would you? No.
And I was at work. It was disgusting.
No, I was going to say that James Earl Jones is no longer going to be the voice of Vader. But that has nothing to do with Marvel. Psych! Deadpool 3 has been announced with fan favorite, the Wolverine. Hugh Jackman will be reprising his role as Wolverine in Deadpool 3.
Yep.
But the whole... I'm excited, it was so funny because like I watched the trailer and he's like sitting there in his black Deadpool suit and like his first time in the Marvel universe has to be just right. And he's like, I got nothing. And then you see Hugh Jackman walking in the background. Hey, Hugh, you want to be in a movie? Yeah, sure, whatever, Ryan. Like, my head exploded, dude. I was just like, what just happened here?
I fucking loved it. Look, the announcement. Okay.
And then, hold on. Before you get to that last part.
Okay.
Then today.
Go.
9/28.
Oh, yeah.
They released another tease trailer where they're like, hey, we're going to talk about Deadpool. And then they start playing some music while they're talking. And John Boy, thank God John Boy came out because he did an entire lip read breakdown. So I highly suggest go watch that because that's really good. But
all right,
they like, oh, and then he comes in and he does this and I grab my sword and I stab him. And Hugh Jackman's like, and I grab my claws and I just poke him in the head. And then Ryan Reynolds is like, but I'm fine. I'm great because I'm Deadpool. It's like, whoa. And then, I'm just, my head hurts. And how awesome that looks.
So look, yesterday, the 27th, was, you know, when they announced the whole thing at first, so much information came out and so much speculation came out immediately after, like, are we going to get the yellow suit? And then some people were deep diving the announcement video, and it was, oh man, he's wearing a gray and black, Ryan's wearing a gray and black suit. Yep. Is Wolverine gonna wear his gray and black suit?
Yep.
How are they gonna go over the whole Logan thing? And you know, is that canon? Is that not canon? Is that a Marvel extended universe, or is that gonna be done away like the Star Wars books? They just bye. I have a suspicion.
Okay.
I have a deep suspicion that while the Logan movie will still be relevant and will still be important to the overall
narrative,
what is it, Fox
narrative,
Fox narrative, yeah, of them all, I don't think it's gonna be canon to the MCU. I think this is gonna be, because again, it's supposed to be part of the multiverse saga. It's just gonna be, oh, this is Wolverine from another multiverse. It just happens to still look like him.
But see, here's the thing, is they did say in this little tease trailer that dropped today that they're not gonna mess with what happened in Logan happens in 2026. This is its own little thing. So they wanted to leave Logan the way that it is, which is, I think Logan, the film itself, was perfect the way that it went down. It was perfect. Mm-hmm. There's no better way to send off a character than to have that touching moment, you know, where you have like a surrogate daughter kind of take up your mantle.
And not just that, it's a character that we literally grew up with, this character.
Yeah, we grew up since the
2000s. Not just in the comics, but in the movies as well.
So again,
I want to cry.
I'm shook, as the kids say. I'm shook at this. I was not even expecting that, dude. When I saw somebody send me hey, Deadpool, I'm like, what are you talking about? Deadpool 3. I'm like, what are you talking about? Look at the trailer. I'm like, what are you talking about? Just watch it. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I wanted to die. I really wanted about to die. Now, here's the thing. As excited as I am for this,
mm-hmm,
I'm glad that Logan happened, and I wish it would have just stayed that way. Not to say that I don't like Hugh Jackman. He's a fantastic actor. He's been in some really good movies.
Right, no one's saying that.
No one is taking that away from him, but I don't think that he's like the pinnacle. Like I don't really think that he should be in this film, but I'm wrong. In this case, I'm absolutely wrong. I'm glad that Hugh Jackman will be reprising his role. Hopefully not for the last time, but you never know. But I'm excited. I really am excited. Like,
look, if anything, by them stating that Logan is set in, like, you know, 2049, it's in the future. That does not mean that the ending in Logan has to be ruined. All that means is that we're just pushing that a little further down the road.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get a little more levity with the character. Hopefully we'll be able to, like, you know.
Right.
I just think there's good. All of this is going to equal into good stuff.
Okay.
And regardless of whether you want, you know, not you specifically, but us as fans and people, if we wanted to, you know, Logan as a masterpiece, it shouldn't have been fucked with. He shouldn't have come back.
I just think it was a good send-off.
It, no, it was a fantastic send-off. I myself am not disagreeing with you on that part. Mm-hmm. The only thing I'm saying is, let's all keep an open mind on it. Let's see what they do with it. And remember that Logan is still the ending. We are still working to that ending. This is now just like, you know.
I don't know if that's what they're doing, though, because it seems kind of like they're going to do their own thing, which is fine. I'm cool with it. But...
And you know what? That might actually be better. If they end up just doing literally their own thing that has nothing to do with Logan at all, even better. Because then Logan really isn't touched. It's its own thing. Yeah.
And I'm happy about that. And we'll see in 2024. But back to the back to news. Just a few more stories and then we're out of here. First, three. We're going to do these not fairly quickly, but give it a minute or two.
All right. Lightning round. Let's go.
First one, James Earl Jones will no longer do the voice for Darth Vader. It will now be an AI-generated voice. So Mr. Jones, who's 95, I think it's perfect time to put the mantle down, and I think he's had a fantastic run with that. What do you think?
I will agree. The man has done incredible work with his voice, not just as Darth Vader, but, you know, he played Mufasa in multiple versions of The Lion King. He has lent his voice to countless pieces of entertainment. He's lent his acting to so many great films. I'm very sad that this feels like the man's 95 years old. He's not in declining health, but he is in declining age. And so I understand. It's bittersweet. I don't want him to stop acting and voicing things. But at the same time, how much are you going to dig up the Darth Vader thing to where you actually need them? You know, that being said, the whole idea of the AI generated voice, it's a little scary. I think myself, it's a little scary. I don't know how necessarily I truly feel about that, but it's a wait and see thing. It's got to be like, you know, is it going to be 100% like that? How real is it going to be? I don't know. There's too many questions. I don't know if I have a straight answer for it, but I will say I am glad, though, that although he's not physically voicing the character, he is still a consultant.
What did he do? What did they do recently with Darth Vader, where he recently came out and
said the Obi-Wan show?
That was the AI generated voice.
So that was it?
Yeah.
Oh well, then all right.
It was kind of him, but also AI generated. They're kind of a mixture of both.
That's great. No, well, it's great.
Here we go. Next story. This one fairly interesting because I don't know if you saw yesterday, but NASA crashed a DART spacecraft into an asteroid for the first time.
Oh.
And it was in the name of planetary defense.
I saw this live.
That was interesting. I saw the video. And they crashed it. It was going 14,000 miles an hour when the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket crashed and impacted into Dimorphos. The last thing that you see is like the outer layer of the asteroid, which kind of looks like almost like a planet surface. And then it crashes into it and everybody in the control room was losing their minds.
Okay. So I saw this live because the bailiff in my courtroom likes watching live stuff on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And he put it on. He's like, dude, it's literally we were on a little mini break. And he's like, look, it's happening live, like literally right now. And we looked, and yeah, the last image was, it was like a, It wasn't a live feed from the rocket. It was like every 5 seconds it sent a new picture.
Yeah.
So you see the asteroid like tiny and then it get bigger, bigger, bigger. And then as it got closer, I was like, are we sure we're not hitting the moon with this stupid thing?
Well, here's the thing.
We're going to fuck up our oceans and shit.
Dimorphos was only 530 feet long. And Deimos, which is 2,560 feet long, or half a mile. The DART was 62 feet with the solar panels unfurled. So this thing, to impact it at such a precise point, that's they timed it just right because they had a slingshot in order for it to crash. So
yeah, you needed the high velocity.
That's precision. But it smashed right into it at 14,000 miles an hour. So,
and this is why I can never work for NASA, because I am not that smart.
Yeah, well, give it to them. They had a successful impact. So the DART mission was a success from the Draco camera.
Yo, hats off to y'all who did it. I'm very happy. As long as it saved us, I don't care what it entailed. No. But I'm very thankful for it.
And our final story. We found out today, thanks to my cousin, Mr. TMZ, also known as Abby. We call him Mr. TMZ because he's always giving us the bad news. He told me, and I told you guys, and it was quickly on our Nerdolution Instagram. So hit up our Nerdolution Instagram. But Julio has passed away today. He was confirmed by TMZ. He had a very storied career with music and was also, he's on a few TV shows as like a guest star. But I think one of the big ones was that TV show with Good Burger? Kenan and Kel, right? It was like
he did the theme song to Kenan and Kel, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So hats off.
He was also in a little movie. In a little indie film called Batman and Robin.
That's right, he was. I forgot about that. I forgot about that. That's right. To Mr. Coolio, thank you for the good memories. Thank you for letting us walk in the valley of the shadow of death. We took a look at our life and realized there's nothing left. To quote him saying, but like, I can't say his music impacted my life, but it's like he's had some good hits. And I think, being that this is kind of a nerdy show, it doesn't fit, but I would like to still say thank you, Coolio, for creating some great music because of him, creating that song for
Gangster's Paradise.
Gangster's Paradise was the name of the song. Dangerous Minds with
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Catwoman. Anyway, going back. It's sad to hear that he passed away, but he's had such a storied career with music that I thought I'd just give him a quick shout out. What do you think?
I love hip hop. I'm a hip hop guy. If no one really knows that, but this is a sad moment for hip hop in general. I think that the world is gonna be a little dimmer because he's not around. He like a lot of guys. He was slightly before my time because I was young. I didn't get into hip hop until like I was, you know, in double digits. So it sucks. I don't know a lot of his music anymore, but I'm happy that it's still out there. I hope his family is doing okay. And I hope that the true fan, not the true fans, but like the deeper fans can rest easy knowing that his legacy is intact and that he's going to outlive. He outlives his own life. You know, his music will outlive him. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's truly really sad.
It's sad to see or hear when someone who is probably young. I think the article said he was 62, still young. Yeah. So it's sad to see that, to see someone go at such a young age. I mean, but he's lived a good life. So hats off to you, Coolio. And that's our show. Hit us with your outro.
All right, y'all. Well, you know, it sucks to end on a little sadder note, but let's kind of raise up the spirits a little bit. We are in full swing of spooky season. The spoopiest of seasons has hit us. The pumpkins are out there and in your lattes. The black cats are out dancing and having a good old grand fucking time. Be kind to your Wiccans because, trust me, they are being overworked this month. Shout out to y'all, witches and Wiccans out there. We love you guys. Please bump up our numbers within your community because we love y'all. But let's go out. Let's go out in style. Black Lives Matter. Artist Lives Matter. Support your local comic book shops. Support your local comedy stores because, hey, we're out here for y'all. And just, you know, I don't have a personal date yet for my showcase. Hopefully next week I will. But I will say my stand-up teacher at The Samantha Hale, she has a special taping coming that's going to be recorded at the Hollywood Improv October 21st. If you're a horror fan or you're a comedy fan, this is the show for you. It's literally called Horror Nerd Comedy. Come out. I'll be there. There's a 7:30 and a 9:45 show. I'm going to be at both. Come out. Let's hang out. Let's show my teacher some support. I love you guys. Thank you for supporting our personal journey here with Nerdolution. Paciencia fam, mi gente. Let's go.
I got one thing to say. Treat other people with respect because you don't know what they're going through. They could be hurting. They could be not in a good place in their head, but I always try to be nice to people. Even if my day's going pretty crappy, I try to be nice just because it's a good thing to just be a positive person in somebody's life. So you see someone who's down, just say, hey, how's your day going? Just talk to them. And Layla, I love you, baby. Keep fighting, okay? Theo Hyman loves you. You guys are my family. When I see you guys, I want to give you a hug. I want to give you high fives. Let's do this. Peace.
Hello, I am the Scary Man. Oh.